T-minus 26. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. It began with a flash. While the dust was still settling in both Birchwood and New York following an explosive episode of Focus 2020, a metaphorical tornado swept through Dan and Emma's living room to kick it up all over again. There was no advance warning in the form of a sharp pain at the back of Dan's neck, no loud noise to brace everyone for what was about to happen, and indeed very little time for anyone to consciously experience the key moment or take notice of the total light as it filled their eyes. What they felt was surprise. What they heard were their own gasps and thumping hearts. What they experienced was an extraterrestrial arrival. What they saw when the flash ended was a busier living room scene than the one it had interrupted, with four new figures present at the entrance to the kitchen.
"Kaka!"
Piper exclaimed, first to express any kind of coherent reaction. With less capacity for reason came less awareness over how remarkable the current moment was, and Piper was certainly the only person in the room smiling. Beside Clark stood Billy Kendrick on one side and Timo Fiori on the other. Behind them all stood an extraterrestrial from New Kerguelen, unmistakably Leisha. In his normally empty hands, Leisha held a familiar cable. Dan stepped forward, only too ready to find out what the hell was going on. As Dan walked, Phil Norris slowly stepped off his chair and retreated towards the front door, keeping his eyes on Leisha and backing away, as though he thought avoiding sudden movements would allow an undetected exit.
"Phil," Clark said, scowling in his direction. "Stand the fuck still. You're freaking him out."
Leisha held his hands up, palms out, and made an exaggerated winking gesture in Phil's direction. A sight which may have been comical in many other contexts was simply bemusing to Phil, whose feet stopped shuffling away in reaction to the gesture.
"What the hell is it doing?" he asked.
"He is telling you we're friends,"
Tara sharply replied under her breath.
"Now get the hell back over here and stop worrying about him."
Shuffling back towards the group less carefully than he had left, Phil couldn't for the life of him work out why Leisha would be worried by his attempt to sneak away, but Tara had far more experience of interpreting the alien's expressions and emotions than he did. Hell, Phil didn't even know if the thing had any emotions.
"Leisha?"
Tara said, speaking slowly like she might to a dog in the faint hope it would understand.
"This is Piper. Remember from the photos I showed you?"
Tara's finger, pointing towards Emma and the baby, made it easy for Leisha to catch her meaning even without his communicational uplift powers in place. As an awkward-looking but full-hearted smile spread across Leisha's face, he handed his communications cable to Clark before taking three large steps towards Emma. Piper's expression was one of intrigue rather than fear or excitement, quite understandably given the almost but decidedly not quite human face of the being smiling at her from such a short distance away. His eyes were striking and large, truly meriting the primate-like descriptor they were so often given, but the spatial layout of his face was understandably visually disorienting for an infant, someone unaccustomed to seeing it. As Emma held Piper, Leisha mimicked the pose and outstretched his own empty arms.
"No way," Henry boomed. "You saw what it did to—"
"Shh," Clark hissed from behind the alien, holding the precious cable as delicately as he would a crystal vase.
"Emma, go on."
Dan, sensing Emma's willingness and silent request for consensus, nodded his assent. Leisha was a friend. That much was absolutely beyond doubt. But what was also absolutely beyond doubt in Dan's mind was that there was nothing Leisha could do to anyone with his hands via physical contact that he couldn't do remotely. Essentially, as well as knowing that Piper was in no danger from Leisha, Dan knew that no one was in any more danger being touched by Leisha than they were simply by being in his vicinity. Satisfied that Dan was on board, Emma gazed into Leisha's eyes and mimicked his anticipatory smile. Then, in no doubt for the child's safety and in great hope that physical contact might reveal something about Piper to Leisha and bring his help in dealing with it, Emma calmly handed her baby to the alien before her.
Tara instinctively lifted her phone from her pocket and snapped a photo of the remarkable moment. She positioned herself for a better view and even called for Leisha to look towards her.
We can print this out and put it up beside the photo of her and Rooster when we get some new frames, she laughed, bringing a degree of levity to an emotionally charged moment.
Okay, Dan said to Emma. Take her back so I can talk to him. Emma waited for a few more seconds, hoping with every heartbeat that Leisha's expression might change at any moment to reflect his realization that Piper had somehow inherited the uplift powers that not even the messengers themselves passed between generations. The warm smile on Leisha's face didn't crack, however, even as Emma slowly held her hands out to take Piper back. Leisha handed her over gently and winked again, first at Emma and then Dan and Tara in turn. He was thanking them, in his own way, but both he and Dan were hungry for far deeper communication. Leisha walked back towards Clark, as well as the utterly entranced Billy Kendrick and Timo Fiore. Like Henry, Phil, and Mr. Bird, they were experiencing up-close contact of a kind that was utterly alien to them in more ways than one. The confidence and trust the McCarthys had in Leisha, evidenced so clearly by their willingness for him to hold Piper in the same hands that had remotely eviscerated a fully grown adult so recently and so publicly, got through to everyone in a way that Dan's repeated insistence of the messenger's inherent goodness never could. Actions spoke louder than words, and no action could speak louder than the one everyone had just witnessed. And despite Tara's keenness to capture the moment for posterity, it had been an organic moment, rather than any kind of photo op. As Timo watched on, it had crossed his mind that doing something like this in public would connect with the general population in a way that words couldn't, just like it connected with him and the others, but he knew it wasn't the time to talk about such things. Leisha was here, right now, and so was he. So were Billy and Clark, who had also been in New York what felt like a split second before they suddenly found themselves in Birchwood. There was a reason. A big one, no doubt, and the cable Leisha had brought with him was surely the key to all of it. When Leisha reached Clark, he took the cable and turned towards Tara.
You want to talk to me? She asked.
Leisha raised one of the two broad finger-like divisions of his right hand and pointed it between Tara, Dan, and Emma in a manner that very clearly seemed to say, any of you. While they shared glances of silent decision, Leisha connected one end of the cable to his own palm. The other, as they all knew, would need to be painfully connected to one of the human's necks to enable two-way communication. This direct method was far less sophisticated than the telepathy Dan and Tara had experienced for brief periods, and also than the multi-way conversation enabled by the table-mounted devices on New Kerguelen and at the UN. Dan, Clark decided, taking it upon himself to put his hands on Leisha's shoulders and turn him towards Dan. It has to be, he added, speaking to everyone. Dan's the only one who's used this kind of cable and had the telepathy, right? They know him and he knows them better than anyone else.
He's right, Emma said, talking primarily to Tara, who looked slightly disappointed that the basic cable meant this was the way it had to be.
If there could only be one person in conversation, it made sense for it to be Dan, and Tara accepted that fully. But what she found less easy to accept or understand was why there could only be one. Dan turned his back to Leisha, presenting his neck for the insertion. Dreading the pain it would bring, but desperate for the conversation it would enable, Dan held his breath and closed his eyes. The sudden sharpness of the sensation was almost impossibly intense, feeling like the first time all over again, but his experienced knowledge that the pain would quickly fade meant there was no fear. Sure enough, his neck felt more or less normal again within seconds.
Are you okay?
Leisha asked, without speaking, as he slowly turned Dan around to face him. Dan nodded but didn't smile, relieved rather than happy to be in contact again, and desperate to get to the bottom of both what was going on and how to deal with it. I am now,